Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Caritas. Today is Friday, March 27th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. So another week in the books. The title of today's podcast, The Moral Hazard of It All. And the focus of today's podcast is going to be a continuation of what it has been throughout the entirety of this week is markets and this quote-unquote stimulus bailout package monstrosity that was formally signed into law today by President Donald J. Trump. And of course, everybody is applauding this thing because everybody thinks this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's not going to be. This is the government's attempt in conjunction with the Federal Reserve to fill a big void, to fill a big hole. This is not stimulus whatsoever. There is no stimulative effect in the works or that is going to derive itself from this measure. All this is, for the most part, is a bribe. It's a bribe to all of the little people out there, all of the average Joes and Jane taxpayers out there. Here's your $1,200. Sit down and shut up. Don't take to the streets. Don't write your congressmen. Don't write your senators. Don't cause an upstir. Take your money and shut up. That's all this is. And they're going to get up there and say, oh, this is nobody's fault. We didn't see this coming. You can't, you know, you can't blame people for this, that, and the other. Exactly what you want to hear, isn't it? So that you can justify why you're taking your $1,200. Which is why you'll justify taking an additional $1,200 probably in another month or so. And another until it ends. And who knows when that's going to be. Market performance, the Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ 100 were all down about 4%, as was the case for the Russell 2000, the small cap index. Pretty much across the board, a down day. Europe was down 4 to 5%. We have the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson tested positive for COVID-19, as did the health minister, or health secretary in the UK as well. Australia, as we were speaking last night, was down 5%. That's where they remained. Just across the board, the Russians were down 3.5%. Friends to the north in Canada were down 5%. An emergency rate cut, by the way, by the Bank of Canada, cut by 50 basis points. Now, down to 0.25%, 25 basis points on their key lending rate. You also had the Reserve Bank of India in an emergency rate cut. They are now down to 4.4%, and they are booming with inflation. So, we told you this a couple months ago that the Reserve Bank of India was going to have to make a decision. What are you going to do? You're going to try to, you know, get the growth going. You're going to try to, you know, cut those interest rates because that's how you get growth going, you know, which is a bunch of BS. Or are you going to try to fight the high inflation, which would mean, yeah, you're going to try to counteract it with increasing interest rates. Well, we told you what was going to happen. So no surprise here that the Reserve Bank of India also in an emergency move cut their interest rates. Colombia, why not join the party, right? And bring that white powder. Colombia cuts interest rates to 3.75%. All right, I mean, it's just ridiculous. The dollar continues to get walloped, despite the fact that there is a dollar crunch, a liquidity squeeze. You know, I trade Forex, and thank goodness my spidey senses told me to get out. Just leave, just trade nothing. Trade nothing. Because you know my bias towards being long the U.S. dollar, at least for a short period of time, because of that fact. Because there is a shortage of dollars. And economics would tell us, well, if there's a shortage of something, the price of it should go up. That happened last week for a brief moment. And then, of course, the idiots at the Federal Reserve said, oh, well, we'll just open up a whole bunch of swap lines with every central bank under the sun, except the People's Bank of China, I'm sure a couple others. We'll just swap them out here. You need dollars? We'll give them to you. We'll give them to you. And then they saturated the market. Now, I think this is going to be short-lived, too, but time will tell. You don't usually see this type of volatility in the currency markets of swings of 1%, 2%, 2.5%, sometimes even 3%, depending on the currency pair. This is ridiculous. You're seeing this type of movement in the bond market as well. Look, you'll understand that this type of volatility may exist in the stock market because it is such a small market relative to the currency market and relative to the bond market. But to see that type of volatility is somewhat of a head scratcher, but like I said yesterday, I think this is just a foreshock of the big earthquakes, plural, that are likely to hit us across the board in the coming days, weeks, months, and perhaps years as we progress. Just like yesterday, where obviously we had that big rally, the bond market wasn't buying it, neither was commodities, and we continue to see downward pressure on commodities. So we have WTI at $21.82 a barrel, down almost 3.5% for the day. Brent, the international metric, is down to $24.94 a barrel, down 5.3% for the day. Natural gas is trading at $1.77 per million British thermal units, down 2% for the day. Gold and silver relatively little unchanged, $1,624 an ounce for gold, $1,439 an ounce for silver. Bonds, Uncle Sam's 10-year treasury note, yielding 0.68%. Well, there was also an announcement by the Federal Reserve that they're going to be cutting back, if you can believe it, which we don't, but there might actually be a reason. Cutting back their involvement in the repo market. And to get involved in the repo market, you know, it's very technical. I've been trying to do a lot of homework and research on this, and I think I've stated this to the audience before. Nobody knows what's going on in that market. I follow a lot of smart, savvy people who were trying to follow other smart, savvy people, trying to put it all together. And I don't think anybody on the face of this earth understands the complexity and what actually takes place in the overnight market, all of the A to Z process. And I definitely don't believe that the Federal Reserve understands it. But nevertheless, there has to be collateral put up. Typically, this collateral is treasuries, okay, that one party puts up in order to get the overnight loan. Well, if the Federal Reserve is cutting back on this, what this tells me is these institutions are out of treasuries. Have they been selling their treasuries to build up cash? Get what I'm saying here? So is this going to end up turning into another problem? Is this going to turn into a funding problem for Uncle Sam at the very time when he's about to tack on an additional $2.2 trillion in debt? Just like that, right? And then, of course, the Federal Reserve is going to print $4.5 trillion. We have a Federal Reserve balance sheet at all-time highs, now over $5 trillion. When's it going to end? It's most likely going to double. That's if we're lucky, it'll only double. I mean, get ready for your inflation and hyperinflation and stagflation, which simply means you have a stagnant economy with inflation. And again, I'm not going to be surprised if it turns into hyperinflation because there's no other way around it. There's not going to be enough growth in the system, especially once we are in a recession. We probably already are. And if we head into a depression, well, then all bets are off. But of course, don't worry, our dear leaders still think that we can have 5% GDP this year. That was from the mouth of the idiot Secretary of Treasury, Steven Mnuchin, who somehow thinks we can pull 5% out of a hat this year. I mean, this guy needs to go. He must be on something. I mean, this is completely irresponsible to come out with such a number. 5%, we haven't seen that number in years, ladies and gentlemen, in years. And with a recession, depression, it is going to knock us off any type of upward trajectory for years. If the last decade's average has been 2.2% GDP, this is going to knock us down probably 0.5% going forward. That's huge on an economy with a GDP of $21, $22 trillion. That's huge over the course of a decade. How much potential wealth and growth is going to be lost? But that's completely what we would expect because our growth, quote unquote growth, most of it has been brought forward by massive, massive amounts of debt. So you got to pay the piper, and that's how it's going to be paid, with decades-long, slow growth. Okay? That's why the Obama administration and the continuation of the Trump administration has been the slowest economic expansion ever, despite the fact that it was the longest. Because you have to understand what debt is. And that's what people don't understand. And that's why people are completely missing the ball when it comes to this stimulus monstrosity. It has to be paid for. It's basically saying your future self is bailing out your present self. Well, are you going to have that money in the future? the principal plus interest to pay it back, on top of everything else that's coming down the pike, on top of everything else that already exists, the endless wars, the interest on the debt itself, which continues to grow and is becoming an ever bigger piece of the pie, Social Security, more people entering retirement age, Medicare, more people entering retirement age, Medicaid, people lose their jobs, where are they going to go get their health insurance? Right? All of these things coming together, and they think, somehow, printing money, tackling on more debt to a problem that was caused by money printing and massive amounts of debt is going to fix this. This is what caused me to write my letter, Representation and Recourse. Check out the podcast, check it out on our website, The Capital News, if you have not done so. Use it. Sign your name to it. Send it to your congressmen and senators, please. Use it as a foundation to draft your own letters, please. These people need to wake up. Yesterday's title of the podcast was 96 to nothing. No votes for America. Nobody stands up for this country. Republican, Democrat, none of them. I told you yesterday, please, if you are affiliated with either party, leave them. Become a libertarian, a constitutionalist, independent, unaffiliated. Leave them. Send a message. This is a peaceful revolution here. That's what this podcast is about. Peace and prosperity, free market capitalism, a constitutional republic. We have the blueprints. We have the founding documents. We know how to build a just society. We've done it. We can do it again. But we've lost our way. But you got to shake the cage. You got to wake these people up. You got to say enough is enough. Because it is. Enough is enough. So that's some of the market performance. That's some of the stuff going on with the stimulus program. God only knows how much pork and anything else they snuck in there, how much money is going to be stolen, how many lawyers and con artists you think are drafting papers of incorporation over the weekend so they can go to some bank next week to try to get some money. How I mean, come on. That's going to take place. That's going to take place. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. How many of them are going to get something? Probably a good deal. Probably a good deal. And then they'll just walk away with the free money. And then the government, the politicians can pat themselves on the back. See, look, how good of a job we did. You know, everything's accounted for, $2.2 trillion. Of course, we'll keep account of every penny, because that's our job here at government, keeping track of everything. So that's the stimulus bill. That's the market performance. That's the Federal Reserve cutting back on the repo market next week. It's supposed to start next week. So that there could be a doozy. I mean, unless they make up for it somewhere else with other money printing and this, that, and the other, could take place. If you want to talk about a situation with the fox in the hen house, do you understand how a lot of this money is being administered, especially on the corporate bailout side of things, especially when it comes to corporate bonds, maybe even municipal bonds, because we had our dear leader Thunder Thumbs today at his COVID-19 coronavirus scheduled daily meeting or press conference. He was saying, yeah, we might have to bail out the states too. Oh, who said that? Me. I did. It's in the letter. Representation and recourse. I mean, we're just bailing out everybody with money that we don't have. He's saying $6 trillion that we can do that because of who we are. Yeah, we're idiots with the printing press who don't have no control. That's exactly right. And guess what's going to come down the pike? Inflation, stagflation, hyperinflation. Just wait. It's coming to a theater near you. It will happen. Make no mistake about it. But it's going to take place elsewhere around the world. It's already in the process of taking place. It'll happen. So we got to deal with that. But my point here with how this is going to be administered, the Treasury is not going to do this through the Treasury Department. They are offshoring this, if you will, to a little firm called BlackRock. I'm sure some of you are familiar with them. They are one of the largest money managers in the world. I can't remember how many trillions of assets under management they have, but it's quite a bit. They are originators of ETFs. They own a lot of debt. They own a lot of everything. And these are going to be the people in charge of a multi-trillion dollar bailout that involves corporate debt, that involves ETFs. Do you see the problem? Do you see the potential of conflict of interest? Have you heard about this? Is anybody complaining about this? Anybody saying, well, we got to keep an eye on BlackRock and the Treasury Department? No. No. It's a completely different ballgame, people. Completely different ballgame. But what do you care? You're going to get a check for $1,200. Sit down and shut up. Okay? That's what it is. It's payoff money. It's shut-up money. But the title of today's podcast is The Moral Hazard of It All, right? So I want to talk about moral hazard of this, because that's another problem with these bailouts. Nobody learns from their mistakes. You have to understand human nature, at least generally speaking. You give somebody an inch, they're going to take a mile, right? So if you continue to do this, bailout after bailout after bailout, corporation after corporation, industry after industry, when are people going to wake up and say, well, maybe we shouldn't do this, or maybe we should be a little bit more conservative with our portfolio, maybe we should be a little bit more prudent with our savings and spending, you know? Maybe we should have a rainy day fund. Maybe we should do a little bit more of a better balancing act with how we function, our spending habits and all that. Because if you're just going to continue to do the same thing, mess up eventually and then get bailed out, what's the purpose of doing, quote unquote, the right or prudent thing? And that's exactly the definition of moral hazard. You're going to take bigger risks because you know you're covered. It's like the insurance market. That's one of the, quote unquote, problems, you will, with the insurance market. Once you become insured, you say, oh, well, I can take a bigger risk because, well, if something happens to me, I don't got to pay for everything. Yeah, there might be some premium costs, obviously, maybe some other out-of-pocket, but the whole thing, if something really goes wrong, it's on somebody else. It's on the corporation, right? It's on the health insurance company. That's moral hazard. This is sort of akin as an example, if you will, I guess. If you have, you know, let's just say some sort of spoiled rich frat boys, okay, will be entirely cliche, you know, at some Ivy League school, always get away with everything, okay? One night they go out, they get drunk, and somebody wrecks the Mercedes or the Lamborghini. No big problem because daddy comes to take care of it. Problem goes away. Maybe next time they get drunk, beat up on their girlfriends. Nothing happens, no charges are pressed because daddy comes and takes care of everything. Well, these are the same idiots who are in charge in Wall Street. These are the same idiots who get those fancy degrees who are working in our government. Okay? No lessons learned. Do what you want, get away with it. Make a phone call, daddy takes care of it. Well, who's daddy in this situation? We are, the taxpayer. We're taking care of it. They get away with having a great old time, make billions and billions on Wall Street, lever themselves up on free money that they get their hands on first. They mess up, inevitably. And then they come crying to Wall Street, or I'm sorry, to Washington, D.C., which means us, you and me, the taxpayer. And then we got to bail them out. And we have politicians, including the President of the United States, saying this is not their fault. This is not their fault. Their money management, their inability, I guess, to save for a rainy day, to save up for a couple months, I guess was impossible. I guess they couldn't do it. So now we got to bail them out to the tune of $6 trillion. $6 trillion. And I can assure you it's going to be much larger than that when the dust settles. And it'll be you and me paying the bill once it's all done. Principal plus interest. So look at it like this. And here's the other problem with all of this. Because you have the individuals, even some of the corporations, with clean balance sheets. Those who have done the right things. Quote unquote right things. Because I don't know anymore if there's right or wrong in this world. There just is. So there's those who, let's just say for the sake of argument, did the right, prudent thing. They have a clean balance sheet. They live within their means. They invest well. They spend wisely. They got a rainy day fund. Then you have those on the other side who have a dirty balance sheet. They live beyond their means. They lever up. Bad management with their money, etc., etc. But they're going to get bailed out. Right? What's supposed to take place, if you had a well-functioning free market capitalistic system, of course we don't, but what would take place normally in this type of situation is those who have done the quote-unquote right and prudent things, who have the clean balance sheets, would have the cash to go out and buy up other assets that would be selling for pennies on the dollar, which is what's supposed to be taking place, right? When I say let markets work, that's what I'm talking about. There are people and corporations who have done the right thing, waiting for their opportunity perhaps to acquire more property, more financial assets, whatever the case may be. It's their money. It's their choice, right? Let them do it. Let them go out and pick up and acquire these assets if they think there's value there, and they will get them for pennies on the dollar. That's supposed to be their reward. That's supposed to be your reward if you did the quote-unquote right and prudent thing and carry a clean balance sheet. That's your reward. You get to go buy up assets for pennies on the dollar. Well, now when you have a federal government, state governments, and a Federal Reserve, and this is true around the world, coming in to say, oh no, all of these people who were reckless, who were careless, who didn't care, we're going to bail them out. So instead of these assets becoming pennies on the dollar, we're going to try to do our best to reflate and inflate their prices back to what they were. Because we can't have these prices going down. We can't allow people who did the right thing to acquire them for pennies on the dollar. Because these people who did the right thing would be better managers of these other assets if they were in their possession. That's a reasonable statement, because if they have a clean balance sheet, that means they're doing the right things to begin with. Now, is it possible that some of them might get a little bit reckless? Sure. But then the cycle continues. Let those who continue to remain disciplined and maintain a clean balance sheet acquire their assets for pennies on the dollar on the next slide. That's how this is supposed to work. You get the right people at the right time in the right positions. You bail them out. You got the same frat brothers in there who get bailed out by daddy every single time. And then we're all back here scratching our heads in another political cycle, in another recession, in another depression, asking, well, how did this happen? How could this have happened? This is extremely simple, and it's right in front of us. But I'm going to get my check for $1,200. Sit down and shut up. That's all they want you to do. Don't ask questions. Don't think for yourself. Don't write letters. No peaceful revolution, nothing. Stay with your party. Don't stay with your party. We don't care. Take your $1,200. Sit down. Shut up. Believe me, that's what this is. Because it's not going to spend. And what are these people going to do with it? They're going to pay off all the debts that they have? At least $1,200 worth? Well, then that just makes you a middleman to bail out the bank. You're going to go spend it on a lot of goods and services that are manufactured by a lot of the largest corporations? Well, that's another bailout for them. You're going to save it? Well, that's not going to generate any type of GDP. So there goes your stimulus. There goes your stimulus. Pent-up demand. That BS line we get from the White House, not going to happen. We've been through that. Not through at least most of the economy anyway. So where's it going to come from? Where's the stimulus going to come from? What's going to happen? What about the behavior of people? Most of the economy is still shut down, and it's likely to be for at least another month. At least a significant portion of it. You hear Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York saying, well, we're probably not going to peak for another 3 weeks. That's just peaking. Then you got the other side of that peak. A couple weeks. So that's at least 3 weeks. That's another month, at least. If California can't contain it, I think it was the mayor of Los Angeles saying we're 6 days behind New York City if we can't get this thing contained. And what kind of effect is that going to have on the state of California, where a lot of agricultural products come? If people aren't working, they're out in the fields. So what's that going to do to your food costs? There they go. Up, 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 and away. Up, 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 and away. You can't preserve them in the field. Some of that stuff needs refrigerated. Needs to get to market quickly. You don't have people out there working, harvesting it. How much of that is simply going to be wasted? People thinking about this? I mean, that $1,200 is going to go quick. I don't care what part of the country you're in. Of course, in some parts, it's going to go further. Others, it's going to go very, very quick. That just might be your rent payment. $1,200, depending on what city, state you live in. It's going to go quick. Spend it wisely. That's the moral hazard. You know, and the question that might come up, well, you know, with some of my solutions of letting the market work, there's no easy solution. There is no easy solution. But doing the same thing and expecting a different result is the definition of insanity, which I outlined in my letter, Representation and Recourse. What do you do for the average American? Well, let's try to educate them. How about that for a change? Why don't we tell them the truth? How about that for a change? Why don't we try those two things? How about a little respect for the average American who has to pay for all of this monstrosity? How about that? Let's start there. There's going to have to be some sacrifice, and it's going to come. It's either going to come after the bailout. Well, now it's going to happen after the bailout because they just did it. There's going to be a lot of sacrifice. There's going to be a lot of downsizing. There's probably going to be a lot of multi-generational households where you have millennials, Generation X, baby boomers, the silent generation. You're going to have a whole lot of households with multi-generations in them because you got to downsize, you got to save. That might be a good thing. That might get us back to some family values in this country, more focused on family and that sort of social, societal fabric as opposed to materialism, which led us to where we are now, in conjunction with a whole host of other things. So there's going to be a process. These are long cycles. This is history. This isn't me pulling a rabbit out of the hat saying, ooh, look at that. This isn't a one-off. This has happened before. And most likely, well into the future, it'll happen again. But that is the moral hazard of it all, and I hope this audience understands this, and I hope you can educate your friends and family on this point or turn them on to the Capitol News, because this is just one of the many problems associated with these bailouts. Because it's not a stimulus package, it's a bailout package. It's filling a hole. And it's filling a hole that can't be filled. Because we haven't seen the majority of this iceberg that we have just ran into. This is just the tip of the iceberg. You're starting slowly, slowly starting to see the downgrades coming. Slowly. Because everybody in the know knows once these downgrades start to cascade, once they start to waterfall, we ain't seen nothing yet. Because a lot of these funds have to sell. These companies who have been downgraded are now going to have to pay more for their financing, for their debt costs. And they're going to need it more than ever because we're heading into a recession, if not depression. So that's going to be their only lifeline. They had a decade of borrowing for nothing virtually. Now they're going to have to borrow at some pretty expensive rates. Or is the Federal Reserve just simply going to print the money and bail them out, which is a whole host of other problems in and of itself, which, again, is another form of moral hazard. Is this what you voted for? Is this what you believe in as a Democrat? Is this what you believe in as a Republican? Probably not. So why stay affiliated with them? Because nobody stood up to this. Nobody. There was that one congressman out of Kentucky, I'm sure you heard, Congressman Massey or whatever his name is, just wanted to get people on record as to how they voted. And of course, he got demolished. Because God forbid, our elected officials actually go on the record and actually say something. Can't do that. Largest stimulus program bailout package ever, $2.2 trillion. And I bet there's going to be another one. Oh, no, you can't go on the record. But yeah, we want it. We want it. Because what else are we going to do? Let markets work. Why don't you try that? Why don't you try that? So I'm going to wrap it up there. That's the moral hazard of it all. And of course, there's a lot more, but we'll get to that next week. It is the weekend, so enjoy your weekend. Hopefully it's a quiet weekend. I have a feeling it won't be, but hopefully it is. And if there is some noise, some chatter as to what's taking place over the weekend or what might be setting up next week, I'll try to do a segment on Sunday for a week ahead. But if it's pretty calm, then you'll probably just hear me back here on Monday. So enjoy your weekend, and I'll catch you next time. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capitol News. I am Alex Kritis. Godspeed.